When you think about Greek life, Christian faith might be the absolute last thing that comes to mind. But we not only believe that it's possible to be Greek and Christian, but also that it's the best way to experience Greek life and grow your faith. We have real, honest conversations about how to approach Greek life from a Christian perspective, including things like recruiting and pledging, drinking and drugs, sex and dating, leadership and philanthropy, and much more. This podcast is by Greeks and for Greeks. Our hosts and guests are all members of fraternities and sororities who collectively have decades worth of experience living out their faith in Greek life. Welcome to the Greek and Christian Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm excited for a new episode this week. Sadly, our good friend J-Mac, John, is not joining us this week. He is out of the office. So me, Allison, your other host, is flying solo this week. But we're going to have a good time because, like we've been seeing this whole season, we've been having amazing guests on. And we have two guests today who I'm really excited to be talking with. But before I get too far into it, I just want to remind us where we've been so far. So if you're joining us in the middle of the podcast, definitely you'll want to go back and hear from the other guests that we've had. But if you're just joining us, we are in a series exploring the intersection between Greek and Christian values. So if you're in a fraternity or sorority, you know that your Greek chapter was founded on a set of principles or values in which the founders wanted to instill to shape the lives of future generations. They're in our creeds that we recite. They're in the rituals we practice during initiation. And these values are meant to shape the way we live and approach our lives. And the same is true for our Christian faith. Like our founders, God also has a set of values which are intended to shape the way we live and relate and think and feel about everything. So the question we've been exploring this season is, how do these Greek and Christian values intersect? Where do they align? Where do they diverge? And how can we practically connect our faith with our Greek experience today? Whew. So we've been doing a lot of exploring. We've had some great guests. And today, like I said, we have two guests. So joining us today is Kristen and Anthony Neely, and they both have some amazing resumes. They are deserving of two separate intros. So I am going to start up by introducing Kristen. So first up, Kristen is a Kappa Alpha Theta alumna. She went to school at the University of Illinois. And as a student, Kristen was a leader within Greek InterVarsity. So she led a Bible study in Theta for 2 years. And then after she graduated, she went into grad school at the University of Illinois. And while she was in grad school, she served as a house mom for Sigma Kappa. So she is Greek through and through, that's for sure. And she has her master's degree in public health. And then we're going to meet her husband, Anthony, in a little bit. But while he was in med school at Ohio State, Kristen worked as a sexual health educator in Columbus, Ohio, and she also served as a volunteer with Greek InterVarsity at The Ohio State University. So welcome, Kristen.
Thank you so much for having me, Allison.
You're welcome. Yes, we're so glad you're here. So I'd like to start out with just the question we've been asking all of our guests, which I would love to hear. What's a favorite memory, quick favorite memory or moment from your sorority experience at Illinois?
So I actually have a hard time answering this question because I don't think I had one big memory that sticks with me so much as a thousand little memories from being Greek. However, I will say that a couple of my favorites, as you'll hear in my story, being Greek is very wrapped up in Greek InterVarsity for me. And so a couple of my favorite moments, one being going to Greek conference, which hopefully many of our students have experienced or will experience. But going to Greek conference the first year was amazing. And it was incredible to be at the front, just watching the speaker, hearing the music with some of my other Theta sisters. And the second experience that sticks with me is being at one of my first chapters. And after chapter, we'd always go around in a circle, announce what was going on with us, and announcing that I was going to start a Bible study. I think that happened to be just a really pivotal moment in my life. Hmm. So while it's not a hilarious story, it was a life-changing story for me.
I love that. I think many of our students agree. Like when you make that first announcement at your chapter meeting that you're leading a Bible study, you're right. It is this kind of life-altering, like, okay, I'm in this. Like, I'm going public with my faith in my fraternity or my sorority. So, yes. All right. I'm going to introduce Anthony now, which, again, love that we have two guests, two married guests. It's going to be a really fun conversation. Okay, Anthony is our next guest, and he is married to the amazing Kristen, as I have shared. Anthony is an alum of Sigma Phi Epsilon, or lovingly referred to as SIGEP, and he also went to the University of Illinois. So actually, Anthony and Kristen met through Greek Inter Varsity, which makes that, I think, time all the more sweeter when they were in school. And then after Anthony graduated from the University of Illinois, he went to med school at The Ohio State University. And in his residency, he specialized in internal medicine and pediatrics. So welcome, Anthony.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Awesome. Okay. Same question for you as Kristen. What's like a favorite memory or moment from your time in your fraternity at Illinois?
The first one that comes to my mind is senior year. I lived with four other fraternity brothers, and in the apartment next to us, there were five more. So collectively, the 10 of us decided it would be a good idea to do the gallon milk challenge, where you try to drink a gallon of milk in an hour and not throw up.
Oh, I just threw up in my mouth a little bit just
and
hearing you.
Suffice
that.
It to say, all 10 of us ended up puking, which was gross, but hilarious at the same time, watching one another all in the same bucket. So that has to be one of my favorite moments for sure.
That's awesome. I love it. You know, little known fact about me, I participated in a water chugging competition. So not milk.
Not as gross.
No, but there's still a chance that you could keep it down or hurl. You're walking that line. I did in fact puke at the end of that. No. So do not recommend.
No, I don't recommend a milk challenge.
Well, one thing for our audience before we jump into the questions is that Kristen and Anthony, you are actually joining me from Honduras, which is awesome. Tell me, what's the name of the city you're living in?
We live in a city called Balfate, and it's on the north coast of Honduras, right by the ocean. It is beautiful.
Oh, that's awesome. And we're going to hear more about what led them to Honduras. But basically, you know, Anthony is a medical doctor. Kristen is working as a health educator in Honduras. And they work with a medical missions organization. But we're going to hear more about their journey of like, whoa, how did you end up like being in a fraternity, in a sorority, in college, in Illinois, and then moving thousands of miles away for your career? So, but let's start with your fraternity and sorority experience. So, you know, I'd love to hear from both of you guys. Why did you join your fraternity or your sorority, and what attracted you to Greek life?
So I just wanted to tell you that in terms of Anthony's memory that he shared earlier, I could hear him puking and the other fraternity guys puking from my apartment. So that's just an extra little memory I have. It's pretty disgusting, but that's how close I lived to him. And, you know, it's another memory that I just recalled as he shared that. Anyway, why I joined sorority life is really because I was attracted to the social life. I was interested in what all the exchanges were like and the parties and going out, and I wanted that to be a part of my life, to be honest. And then the other thing that attracted me to sorority life was that I come from a long line of sorority girls. So my grandmother went to college in like the 40s at Belmont in Nashville, and she was a sorority girl, and her daughters were sorority girls, and my mom, and then my sister, and all of them loved it. So I knew that that was something that I would probably love to.
Nice. What about for you, Anthony?
So similarly, my older brother had been in a fraternity in college. And so I saw vicariously through him that it was something he really enjoyed. And then when I got to University of Illinois, I realized that in SIGEP, there were a lot of guys from my high school. Older guys that I had played sports with or had looked up to and felt were good, outstanding kind of guys. And so I felt drawn to that particular aspect, wanting to be around other good guys who were athletic and getting good grades and that I knew from high school. And so it was kind of an easy decision for me to rush for SIGEP, to be around collectively a good group of guys some of whom I had already known.
Nice. And did you both live in your chapter houses?
Yeah, I lived in Sigma Phi Epsilon my sophomore and junior year.
I actually did not live in Theta, which is a regret of mine. I really wish that I had. But I, of course, did live in Sigma Kappa for 2 years as their house mom.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Well, you know, you were both involved in Greek Inter Varsity as students. And so I'd love to hear, how did you grow in your faith through your experience in Greek life? And what was challenging about it? Kind of walk me through that.
So I actually transferred to University of Illinois from a Christian college. And my experience was that I wasn't really challenged in my faith at the other school because everyone was basically a Christian, or so I thought. I went to chapel there because there was a chapel, and I just never really felt challenged. But when I transferred to U of I, it was suddenly like I was in this huge, huge group of people all making their own life decisions, and it was all before you what you could choose to do. You could choose to study, you could choose to go out every single day of the week. You could choose, you know, the type of people you want to hang out with. Everyone was so different. And I loved that. And I'm still to this day attracted to, I guess, to choices, to the availability of getting, being able to do what we want when we want. But as we all know, that can be a huge temptation too. So I had ups and downs, and I had good choices and bad choices, of course, but I really grew in my faith through making decisions, making choices, through falling, through getting up, through learning, okay, who am I? I've grown up a Christian. I know God loves me, but does he love me when I make the bad choices? Does he love me when I'm out with Theta, you know, drinking? Or does he just love me really when I'm doing the Bible study in my house? And am I even supposed to be doing both? So it was really all of these questions that I was going through in my head, but I had a community to talk about them with, which was key, and helped me so much in my faith, like you mentioned, Greek IB, of course. But I grew a lot in the challenge of choices.
Yeah, I think that's a good word. I think, you know, a lot of times we maybe will avoid the challenging situations because we don't want to be uncomfortable. But I think you're right, Kristen, that it's that it's really that place where your faith is tested. And it's like, okay, you know, the things are exposed underneath of maybe where you don't trust God or you don't fully understand who God is. And it's through those challenge and choices that we do grow. And that's very true.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I grew a lot of my faith in undergrad, primarily through involvement in Greek University, to be honest. As I joined, a lot of my brothers were already going to Greek IV, and so I pretty quickly got involved, and then kind of later got involved more in the praise and worship band, playing guitar and singing. And then when I started living in the house sophomore year, I decided to start a Bible study, and that was obviously exciting, definitely challenging at times, seeing guys come and go, and maybe some of them taking it seriously and being changed, and some certainly not. And I think I grew a lot also realizing that while a lot of people maybe said they were Christian, believed in God, even went to Greek University, I saw all around me where people were not living as followers of Jesus. And so that challenging me in a way to not give up on them, but to try to love them through that and to try to show them there's a better way. And at the same time, certainly struggling myself with sin, and like Kristen said, with, you know, personal choices and how am I navigating this college life, trying to be an example to the brothers that I live with, and an example as a leader in Greek IV. And is my life reflecting a heart that is changed by the gospel and trying to follow after Jesus? So Greek IV was definitely the biggest avenue by which I grew in my faith, and then also leading the Bible study in the house.
Nice. That's excellent. I'm just kind of wondering, as I'm listening to both of you, you know, was there a time where you felt like your beliefs or the way that you wanted to live your life as someone who follows Jesus was directly challenged by the culture of your fraternity or sorority? And how did you handle that? Like, what were some tools in your tool belt or resources, you know, that helped you navigate when you experienced kind of that tension of being a Christian in your fraternity and sorority?
Absolutely. I struggled and felt that sometimes those two aspects of my life were opposed. But that really, again, draws me back to the answer of community and having community. The girls who I became friends with in Greek IV are still my friends, and I still go to them for advice, and they still support me and love me, and they know a lot of things, you know, about me, good and bad. But I went to them, and they in turn encouraged me to go to the Bible and to go to prayer. And sometimes I failed, of course, as we do, but I went to community. And then I went also, of course, to the Word. That was really important and something that I needed to learn how to do.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. I love the piece about community. I think that's a key thing. And I mean, I agree that having good community in my life can really make or break the way that I'm able to follow Jesus on a day-to-day basis. I was just with a women's group over Zoom. I mean, everybody is meeting on Zoom these days. And it does make a huge difference on how my day goes. You know, if I'm able to gather on community who helps encourage me towards God's word and prayer, or if I'm just like in this weird season of isolation, which it's really easy to be isolated right now during COVID, you really have to be intentional, but it makes a huge difference in how we're able to thrive in our faith. On that note, we are going to take a break because we have an opportunity for you all listening, especially, I mean, for those of you who are listening and are part of Greek InterVarsity, you know that we have an event coming up called Beyond This. And for those of you who are unconnected and you're like, oh man, I really wish I had Greek IV at my school, we want to help you. And so listen into this ad about an event that's coming up just for you and get connected with us. But we'll be back just in a few.
Hi, I'm Emily, and I'm your MC for Beyond This, a Greek IV premiere. As we all know, this has been a uniquely difficult year. From COVID to racial injustice, political division, isolation, and anxiety, this year has been a struggle. When we face hardship and suffering, it is easy to disconnect and wonder, is there any real point to all this? But what if there is more to this? What if it is possible to find meaning, hope, joy, and God in the midst of this, whatever this may be? Beyond This is a premier event featuring the stories of three Greek students who found God and meaning in the midst of hardship and suffering this year, including mental health challenges, toxic relationships, substance abuse, and more. We'll be organizing watch parties to view Beyond This on YouTube on February 21st. To learn about hosting a watch party or to find a watch party near you, visit us at greek.intervarsity.org/upcoming events or follow us on Instagram at GreekIV. I hope you'll join us for Beyond This.
Okay, so we are back from our break, and you know, we heard a little bit about Anthony and Kristen's experience at the University of Illinois, and now I want to shift gears and talk about kind of their life after they graduated, because you know, I've known Kristen and Anthony here and there since I've been on staff with Greek IV. I think we're around the same age, and so you know, I've seen them. You know, I knew Kristen and Anthony when they were living in Ohio, and then when they moved to Honduras, and it's just been neat to see the way that God has invited them into these places step by step, and they've responded with a yes to these invitations that God made. But let's start with your careers, right? So like I said before, Anthony is a doctor. Kristen has her master's in public health and has worked as a sex educator, sexual health educator, and now a health educator in Honduras. So I'd love to hear from both of you, like, what kind of led to you all making that decision? You know, Anthony, with you being in healthcare and as a doctor, and Kristen, I mean, also involved in healthcare, but as a health educator, I'd love to hear more about the decisions that led to that.
So I will say, I have never met anybody who's like, when I grow up, I want to be a sex educator. Like, and certainly was not little Kristen saying that. In fact, I never even really wanted to teach. Like most little girls and you know, little boys think about what they want to be. And I just knew I don't want to be a teacher. I hated public speaking. I hated being in front of a group. I would get so nervous. And then I went to grad school and I prayed to God that he would give me a job so I could pay for grad school. And I fasted and I read this book, and then I got a phone call and it was, do you want to teach a public health class at U of I? U of I will pay for you to go there if you teach it. And I thought, oh my gosh, answer to prayer. Of course I will. And then after the phone call, I figured I'm probably teaching introduction to public health should be easy. Well, then I got my assignment that I was actually going to be the human sexuality teacher. And anybody who goes to U of I has this option to take human sexuality. It's a really popular class. I don't have to tell you why, but that was going to be my class. And I thought, well, I'm probably just grading papers. No, you're teaching the class. I grew up in a family that never even said the word sex. Like, I probably would have gotten in trouble. And so it was just mind-blowing to me that this was my quote-unquote answer to prayer. And I was probably not a very good teacher that first semester. So I apologize to any students, if any of them ever hear this. And partially I know that because I got reviews back that said, you know, she seems nervous, she seems scared. Well, I hated public speaking. Of course I was nervous to talk about a topic that I had never talked about as a young person and didn't know what I was talking about. So it was quite the learning experience, but I really felt reassurance that this was God's gift, actually. And not only that teaching was God's gift, and you know, the money I was getting and all of that, but that sex was a gift. And I had heard that maybe here and there, but I realized that sexual desire is not wrong. God created us to be sexual, you know, to long for intimacy. But that was such a huge realization for me, even coming out of my mouth. It was just a mind-blowing moment to really come to terms with that. And so I started to love it, and I started to really enjoy teaching it and making it my own class and talking about, okay, this is sex and this is a good thing, but what has happened in our world? And it was my own class, so that made it super fun. And that was my beginning of a journey as my journey as a sexual health educator, and I'm still doing it to this day. It was something I fell in love with and became just a huge passion for me to talk about.
That's so great. I've actually reached out to Kristen for questions as she is a sex educator, because I think we need more people who are passionately following Jesus who can also like talk about sex in a way that doesn't induce fear or shame. And I think that's something I really admire about Kristen is that I think she really cares about addressing this issue in a way that helps people to see that it is a gift from God. And what does God have to say about it? So that's awesome. What about you, Anthony? Tell me about the path that led you to pursue medicine.
I feel like I kind of always remember wanting to be a doctor, and my dad is a doctor, and so I have the benefit of seeing how it's been a fulfilling career for him and something that he's done for 35 years now and is terrific at. And so in Illinois, it was pretty easy decision for me to go pre-med. At first, I didn't know what kind of doctor I wanted to be or in what setting I would want to kind of practice in. But then in 2008, I made my first short-term trip here to Honduras with my dad with a pre-med kind of student organization. And that's when I really feel like things started to come together as I saw my dad providing healthcare to poor and underprivileged people here in Honduras, how grateful they were, how simple services went such a long way. And then also, though this was a secular trip, at least for my dad and I, understanding the deeper truth to the fact that Jesus was a physician, Jesus was a doctor, and much of his ministry was addressing the health and suffering of poor or people that he came across. And so I really felt convicted of that and how medicine is such a good avenue to incorporate the gospel. And so that's really when it started to kind of take on a different form for me. And then throughout more in undergraduate and then in medical school, I kept coming to Honduras to do these similar short-term trips. I kept feeling that desire reinforced each time. I love the service here to the poor. I love incorporating medicine and the gospel. And then I chose the specialty or the form of training I have, I think, because I wanted to be able to be versatile or to have a breadth of training to all ages. So from babies to the elderly, and to be able to, in that sense, to serve as many people maybe as I could. And so those are the bigger reasons. And then I always enjoyed school and studying and science. And so in that aspect, it was always enjoyable for me. It never felt like a chore or anything like that.
That's excellent. I mean, I hear the ways that, you know, kind of God brought you to this. I mean, with the desire when you were young, the ways that you connected with Jesus as being that healer in scripture. I mean, it's very true. He healed not only soul, but he also healed mind and body. I mean, we see him meeting people in both their emotional needs and their physical needs all throughout scripture. And then the way even just with that trip with your dad to Honduras and how that spark something in you of even what to do with your residency and then now where you guys are at in Honduras. So I want to get into what led you guys to Honduras. You know, did you ever imagine that you'd be living overseas when you were, you know, 18 years in college? And, you know, what were some of those, what was the journey like for you of moving to Honduras? How did you two come to that decision?
Well, it really did start for me in that trip in 2008, because that was my first overseas trip, first time in a different culture, different language, addressing needs and healthcare in that context. And then as I kept coming back, all told over the years with my dad, I think I made 5 or 6 more trips. They were always highlight weeks for me. I mean, the best week of the year easily. And so each time I left, I remember as I boarded the plane, I would pray essentially each time, Lord, please bring me back here one day, because it was always sad for me to leave. And so I do feel it's clear now that God in his sovereignty made a way for that to be possible, because I kept coming back. I kept praying, Lord, bring us back here one day. And then as we were living in Columbus, pretty near to Louisville, there is an annual healthcare conference in Louisville, Kentucky every year that we attended and started to learn about healthcare missions and mission organizations and how one might go overseas and with whom and all these details. And we found the organization Samaritan's Purse, which is a big organization that does a lot of not only short-term relief work, but also equips physicians and their families to go overseas long-term. And as we applied to them and thought about where in the world might we go, I didn't necessarily tell them I want to go to Honduras, but they offered us to go to Honduras. And so then through prayer, it just became pretty obvious that, hey, this is essentially an opportunity that God is granting us to answer this prayer of mine over the years that please bring me back to Honduras. And now we're here in a different part of the country that I had never been to, but certainly doing similar things to what I had been doing all those years. And so, yeah, just clear God's hand at work in retrospect, how the desire built and built. And then lo and behold, we're offered to come here as part of Samaritan's Purse.
Nice. And, you know, I'm really anxious to hear what Kristen's whole process was, because I hear this, how God orchestrated this throughout your life, Anthony. And even, I mean, the way that you just continually would go back to prayer over and over again to ask God to confirm some of these things. And, you know, it really was just this regular action of prayer, going back to God and taking that next step forward. But what was this like for you, Kristen? You know, as you're married to Anthony, how did God call you as well to Honduras?
So the first memory I have of feeling a calling towards the mission field is probably in 2009. I went to Urbana, which I believe is scheduled to happen this year, again, through InterVarsity, through Greek IV. And I heard a girl speak about her experience basically of becoming a Christian through missions work, and she was impacted by missions work. And I just like heard this voice, I would say, that I have never experienced since and never experienced before that, of you're going to go too. And I just, I don't really know how to explain that. It's just, that's what happened. And after that, I wrote on a piece of paper, as they have you do at this conference. And I kept that piece of paper with me. And I just knew I cannot deny this. I applied to a couple short terms. One in particular, I remember getting denied, partially because of the timeline and whatever else. And then I thought, well, is this really for me? But I heard that voice so clearly. So when Anthony approached me, had told me that he liked me and all of that, I knew I cannot date this person unless he wants to go on the mission field. And so I kind of scarily approached him afterwards. We met at this coffee shop across from Theta. And I said, you know, I'm only dating because I think I could marry you. And I'll only date you if you have an interest in going on the mission field. And I was kind of like, this will be it. But he agreed that he was really only dating for marriage and that he too had a call to go on the mission field and serve as a doctor. I'm like, oh, okay. That's amazing. That works. That's good. So that was what happened. And after that, we really intentionally pursued the mission field, but we knew that it had to be after his training. In terms of Honduras, I didn't expect it. I knew his history with Honduras. I knew I was terrible at Spanish. I was a really bad language student. Most of my Spanish teachers would probably be shocked to find out I can speak Spanish now and am quite fluent. So it was definitely a God trusting faith thing, but worked out. Here we are.
That's excellent. Okay. One side note that I just really want our audience to hear from that story is, oh my gosh, having clear, direct communication with the person you're dating. Great way to go, guys. Don't be weird about it. It's okay to state your goals and your values and your desires with your potential partner. Okay. And you heard it from Kristen and Anthony. You don't need to be wasting your time with people who don't hold the same values as you. And I love that because Kristen knew where God was leading her. And if, you know, her partner was not down with that, she wasn't going to entertain that. And I think we need to remind ourselves of that too. Like, what is God calling us to? And if we're single and we're interested in marriage or interested in being with someone, then we need to make sure that that potential partner is on the same trajectory as us. And so I love that. That's a total side note from the story, but something I think is worth bringing out, especially as you all listening to this are probably doing some discerning about your future. And I would imagine more than a few of you are interested in the dating scene. So good work there. But I love the way that, you know, there are some elements that just made sense to Anthony and Kristen, things that, you know, were already a desire of their heart that God innately put in them, but other things that were a surprise, you know, that through them having this obedient life to prayer and scripture and asking community what God was up to, they were able to sense when God was doing something maybe a little unexpected. And I think that's a key thing for discernment. I want to hear from you guys. Okay, Anthony is working as a medical doctor in Honduras. Kristen is working as a health educator. What does a typical day or week look like for you guys? What are you doing out there? Tell me what it's like.
So we live, like Kristen said, about maybe a quarter mile or less, honestly, to the Caribbean. Essentially, we live off the beach in an area of housing with other missionaries and near the hospital. So a typical day for me, we might be woken up early in the morning by howler monkeys outside our house, making lots of noise. And then I head to the hospital most days and see patients in the clinic and some maybe in the emergency room or some that are staying in the hospital. And that, of course, this is all in Spanish. And so that is challenging and certainly different. And it really depends, you know, we're in a pretty remote area. So there's not a ton of people, but we can still get pretty busy. And certainly some people come in with injuries or diseases that you wouldn't really find in the States. A lot of machete wounds, fingers chopped off by machetes, and things that you just don't come across. And so there's a lot of variety in the medical sense of what I see and what we're dealing with. And I can walk home and be with Emma, our daughter, and spend time with her probably more than I would, to be honest, in the States. I think I have a good work-life balance in that sense and can be home a lot. And then we live close with other singles and other married families here. And so we're spending time in community pretty frequently, sharing meals and having our kids play, our daughter play with other kids. And so it's a great life, very peaceful, challenging, certainly different than I think it would be in the States.
Excellent. What about for you, Kristen? What's it look like being a health educator in Honduras?
It is a learning curve. I teach at a bilingual school that is part of the mission work that we do here. And so I do teach a lot in English, which is helpful. But there's, because it's the kid's second language, it just gives you a new appreciation for people learning language, for people being outside of their home language, and living in that world. And so everything is at a little bit of a lower level grade-wise than what I would teach in the States. But I teach grades 1 through 8. So it is quite the varied material in terms of what you can teach and how they'll understand it. And but it's great. It's wonderful. So I do that in the middle of the week. And then the beginning of the week, I go to the local health department, not so much to work as to just build relationships with the local health department, which has been really fun. Again, very different than the health department in the States. They just have less resources, less experience with schooling and things like that. So it's also a learning curve. And then the afternoons, I teach a group of children that we have at our children's home, also affiliated with the mission work that we do. And that's in Spanish, and it's a couple hours of life skills, and all of these things are building my own curriculum and just trying to be creative and learn as I go. So
that's awesome. Well, I'd love to hear, you know, is your fraternity sorority experience, is it still impacting your life today? Like, are there things that you learned through your experience in your sorority, in your fraternity, or in Greek IV that is still impacting you today?
I think so. You know, I started, like I mentioned, in Greek University, I started to lead in like praise and worship band, singing and playing guitar, and that's something I still do. And so we sing some of the same songs that we did in Greek IV, and so it feels familiar in that sense. I think in particular with the teenagers or more adolescents, I think Kristen and I try to maintain relationships with them and be more approachable and not necessarily feel like we're old and out of touch with young people or anything like that. So I think our kind of social natures or history of being living with different people and kind of being in more social context helps us in that regard to try to be familiar and have relationships with these young kids. And, you know, we still participate in Bible studies or kind of corporate worship like we did back in Greek IV. And so the element of studying the word, gathering together, is still definitely familiar and something that we did a lot in undergrad.
Absolutely. Greek IV still impacts our life in that we are married. I only know him through Greek IV, and we have a child who would not be here without Greek IV, like in a sense. So it absolutely still impacts our day-to-day life. I have a lot of continual relationships with people, like I mentioned earlier, who I know from Greek IV, who support us both in prayer and financially on the field, who contact us to see how we're doing. So my community was forever expanded through InterVarsity. And then I'm I know that I learned ways to study the Bible, ways to talk about the gospel, ways to share Jesus, ways to connect and mentor, all from Greek IV that I still do today.
Well, what advice do you have, for our Greek students who are listening, as they're navigating their faith in Greek life, and then maybe they're thinking about after college decisions, what advice do you have for them?
The best advice I can give, and it is both the most challenging, I think, and the most simple thing you can do, is to invest and be intentional about prayer with God. And it almost seems like a boring answer, but I promise it's not. When you are actively involved in speaking to the creator of the universe, who loves you and who wants relationship with you and whom you've either said yes or no to having a relationship with, it's insane. He does marvelous and amazing things. He does daily mundane things through you by speaking to him that you may or may not realize. And it really changes your life. Hearing from God, whether it be in silence or actually hearing, feeling that you heard him, knowing that you heard him, or just hearing his voice through the scriptures, prayer is probably the best thing you can do as you approach dating decisions, college and grad school, any kind of friendships or relationships, mission fields, work, like all of it. It's the foundational aspect from which you navigate life. Even if you feel like, oh no, I pray all the time and I don't really hear anything. Keep praying. Tell God that you feel that way. Look at the scriptures and what they say. Like I said, I think it's the most challenging and simple thing you can do. Talking to the Lord, maintaining talking to the Lord as you grow and change and go through life.
Yeah, and I would say remember to find other people who are trying to follow the Lord in your fraternity or sorority or in others, because it's hard to feel alone in that respect. You might be the only Christian in your house, and that's going to pose more challenges. And so having community in Greek IV or with people from other fraternity sororities that are also trying to follow the Lord is pretty vital. And also just remembering, I think it's Greek IV's mission statement, right? That you could be the person by which somebody comes to know Jesus. And that might be your purpose in that house that God has put you in or called you to. And so really taking that seriously and trying to be intentional about your relationships in the house and not overlooking opportunities to try to win over people to the Lord. And that's a huge blessing that we get to be a part of. Through our time in undergrad, wherever you are, and then in Greek life too.
That's a good word. I love what both of you said. I mean, having that regular rhythm of prayer, of those daily disciplines of being with God. I mean, that is what enables you to make decisions in all aspects of your life, right? Like God wants to be part of all those spheres of your life, of your Greek experience, your dating experience, your life after college. And if we don't have that daily rhythm of connecting with him, then we won't know how to recognize his voice. We won't know how to recognize how he's leading us. And Anthony, you made a good point of being part of that community, not only Christians who support you in your faith, but actually who propel you, to live out that good news to the people around you who don't know Jesus. Those are two just hugely essential things. Yeah, there's so much good stuff. We're going to have like you guys come back on separately sometime for another episode, because I think there's so much we could talk about. And you heard it from them. Greek IV was pivotal in their lives, having that community, having that support system to help them in their faith. And if you are listening to this and you feel like you're alone as a Christian in the Greek system, we want to help you. We want to help you feel supported and maybe bring Greek IV to your school. So get connected with us. Visit us at GreekIV.org. There's a contact card on our homepage that you can fill out because we'd love to connect with you. And also follow us on Instagram at Greek IV. But anyway, Kristen, Anthony, it was so great to have you on for this episode. So appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. It was
great. Thank you very much. It was our pleasure.
Awesome. Yes. Enjoy that beautiful beach for us.
Thanks. We will.
The Greek and Christian podcast is produced by Greek InterVarsity, a nonprofit college ministry for fraternity and sorority students. Our ultimate vision is to see every fraternity and sorority connected to a community of Greek Christians, so that every Greek is just one friend away from knowing and following Jesus. To learn more, find a community on campus, or partner with us, visit greek.intervarsity.org.